Good morning. The order of service this morning is the order of morning service, beginning on page 5. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto Thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to Thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring Thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given Thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for His sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by Thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of Thee and of Thy will, and true obedience to Thy word, to the end that by Thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believeth on His name, He giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Our worship continues with the reading of the responsive introit as found printed on your bulletin insert, the responsive introit. But we will bless the Lord. As for me, I have set my King. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Praise the Lord, all nations. And so all peoples. For great is His steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
As
it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
But we will bless the Lord.
From this time forth and forevermore, praise the Lord.
Glory be to God on high.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading is written in the book of Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion, he comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in the 11th chapter of Romans, beginning at the 33rd verse. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith; if service, in our serving; the one who teaches, in his teaching; the one who exhorts, in his exhortation; the one who contributes, in generosity; the one who leads, with zeal; the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the responsive gradual as printed on your bulletin insert. Fear the Lord, you His saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Holy Gospel is written in the 16th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the 13th verse. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Here endeth the gospel. We now confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed as found printed on page 12. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated as we invite forward our children's choir, and then following will be the children's message. Good morning. How's everyone doing?
This morning I have a test for you.
I have something in my hand and I want to know if you know what it is. So what do you say this is? Does anyone know what this is? I could hang it from my key ring and I could hang it with my keys, but that's not really what it is. Let me show you what this really is. This comes out like this. Now, can any of you tell me what this is? No, it's not a key, but close. Kellen? If he gets this, I'll be really, really surprised.
It's a dindow.
It's what?
A dindow.
Nope.
It's a picture.
None of you know what this is, do you? Well, how about this? You know, that actually, this comes apart, and it lays on the ground like that.
A penny.
Nope.
A penny holder.
Nope. See, none of you know what this is. That's just like the question that Jesus asked the disciples. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? None of you know what this is. So Jesus, through God the Father, tells everyone who he is. What this is a thing that a golfer carries, and this is what he fixes a divot with. The divot is a little hole in the ground, especially on the green, and he softens up the divot and he pushes it back down. And then when he has to mark his ball, that's a ball mark. It marks where the ball goes, so someone else could putt. And then I would come back and put my ball right on top of this and pick it up and put it away and put it back in my pocket. That's what this is. So you've learned something today, haven't you? But let's learn something more important. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus?
God.
All right, God, the Son of Man. Anyone else? Who is Jesus? Jesus asked the same question of his disciples, and what did Peter say? He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." True words. What does it mean that Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the Anointed One. In his baptism, all of our sins were poured onto him. And then what did Jesus do with all of our sins? He took them to the cross. He took him to the cross, and there he died. Christ is Jesus, is not his name, that's his title. It tells us who Jesus is. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Anointed One. He's the Savior who has saved all of you and everyone looking at you from their sins. Whether they want to believe it or not, that's what Jesus has done, because he is the Christ, the only Christ. There's none other. But also, he's the Son of God, the Living One. What does that mean? Jesus is the Son of God. Remember in Bethlehem, Jesus was born of Mary and laid in a manger. But Jesus didn't have a human father. He had the Heavenly Father as his father. That tells us that Jesus is God and he's the Living One. What does that mean for us? If Jesus is living and you have been baptized and been given newness of life, that tells you what? When Jesus comes back, he's going to do what for all of you? Take you to be with him where?
In heaven.
Heaven. That way you will live forever with the Living One. That's what Jesus has done for you. We had nothing to do with it. Jesus came for us willingly as the Son of God. And he, by his own power, and because of his love for all of you, took all of our sins unto himself and took them to the cross. And what did he do there? He died. He died for the sins of the whole world, for your sins and all of their sins too. That's why they should confess with all of us. Okay, now repeat after me. You are the Christ. The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
That's our confession as Christians, because these words, those words, are true. Let's fold our hands and close our eyes and let's pray to our Lord who is the Living One. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the Christ, the only Savior of our sins and from our sins. For only you, Jesus, were willing. Only you were willing to come down out of heaven, to take our sins unto yourself and to carry them all the way to the cross, where you proclaim that it is finished. Our sins are forgiven, And then, Lord, it is you who went into the grave, but you did not stay in the grave. You rose on the third day, and then you ascended into heaven. And you left us with one final promise, that you will come again to take us to where you are. And Lord, we know that you will keep your promise, because you are the Christ, the Son of the Living One. And all the children said,
Amen.
I'm not sure. Do you think maybe they heard you? And all the children said,
Amen.
Because that is the truth. God's blessings to you all. Remember, we walk back to our seats. And we sing the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Please rise. Peter replied, answering, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Please be seated. My dearest brother and sister in Christ Jesus, Christ is not Jesus' last name. I think your children know this now. When we hear the term or the word or the name Jesus Christ, it is more proper for us to say Jesus the Christ. So let's talk about that this morning. All too often in our society, we use titles as though they are a name. But we shouldn't forget that titles are actually descriptive. They tell us what a person does. President, governor, coach, pastor. In fact, it seems that we have lost the value of actually using titles in our society today. In actuality, all we want to do is tear each other down instead of respect each other. Maybe we've lost the importance of titles on purpose, since they are reminders to us. By the way, the title Mrs. tells us something about a woman, that she is a married woman, and that a man who is not her husband is forbidden to have sexual relations with her. In the same way with the man, Mr. means that he is a married man, and he should not use his body for wrong purposes. By the way, the title Mrs. and Mr. reminds us, as does the title Christian, reminds us that we have taken a vow. We have taken a vow before our Lord that we will be honorable, that we will be truthful, that we will practice fidelity. That has been lost in our society today. There is one place, though, where titles are still in use, and that's by regulation. That's the U.S. military. Sir and ma'am is required, as is with senior NCOs, by address them by their title, by their rank. It's very refreshing. Why? Because discipline must be maintained for the sake of readiness and for the sake of your defense and my defense, for the defense of our nation. So Simon Peter answers Jesus and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living one, the Son of the living God." So let's take a look at these terms today, the term Christ and Son and living God. The Christ, the Greek term that Peter uses is ho Christos, which in the Hebrew would be pronounced Messiah, of which we get the English word Messiah, and Messiah is the Greek word for the anointed one. So if you were in Bible class this morning, you hear that Jesus has been anointed. In the Old Testament, prophet, priest, and kings had to be anointed with olive oil. That marked them as being set apart to do a job as a priest, or as a prophet, or as a king. Jesus has been set apart because he has been anointed. He is the anointed one at his baptism. But Jesus was anointed in a very unusual way. As water was poured onto him, our sins were being poured onto him. And he was bearing the sins of the world. And then there's a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Messiah, your Savior. The Christ has been sent to redeem all mankind by dying for all mankind. Even those who do not confess that He is the Christ, He has still died for them because that's His title. That's what He was set apart to do, to save all men from their sins. And when he did this, he was also to reconcile all men, especially the nation of Israel, back to the Father. But because Jesus has died on the cross, He has also reconciled us back to our Father who is in heaven. Because Jesus has done this, Scripture tells us that rivers will run in the desert, plants will bloom in the wilderness, mountains and the seas, and everything in between will leap for joy because He is the Christ, and He has come, and He has saved. This is good news, dear one. It's good news for you that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Messiah, the Anointed One. Because it is He. It is He who has taken your sins, and He has taken them to the cross, and He has died. And then He was laid in a tomb, but He did not remain in the tomb. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Even in the middle of Pentecost, you remember. Very good. Yeah, Jesus did not remain dead. He rose on the third day, and He ascended into heaven. And as the Christ, as the Son of God, He has made one final promise that He will never leave us or forsake us, that He will come for us and take us to be where He is. And He will do this. And He has done it for all the saints who are resting across Hume Road. And wherever your loved ones are resting, He has kept and He will keep His promise. So, a title is very important. It's intended to be descriptive, like Farmer Brown, or Officer Smith, or Mr. Doe, or Fireman Shum, or Pastor Harrison. Peter says that you are the Christ, the Son of the Living One. So therefore, when we hear Jesus or when we speak His name, from now on we do not say Jesus Christ, we say Jesus the Christ, because that's what Scripture teaches us. Jesus is the Christ. He's the one and the only. There is none other. There is no other way to heaven, dear one. No matter what you may have been taught, no matter what you have heard, no matter what you may believe, there is only one way, for Jesus tells us that He is the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and there is none other, because He is the Son. He is the one who has been sent to fulfill the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation, which was foretold all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:15. That He will bruise the heel of the Messiah, but Satan's head will be crushed here at the cross. Jesus has done this. He has been sent by God the Father. He is the Son. He is the Son, the one and the only, of the living God. Therefore, since Jesus is the Son of the living God, Jesus must have authority, because it's from His Father. And Jesus does have authority as the Anointed One. He has all authority given to Him in heaven and in earth, and this has been given to Him by His Father in heaven. When we think of authority, we think of one who has power over others. Sadly, people will misuse their authority, and authority will corrupt. Power corrupts, and it corrupts absolutely. We know this. We see this in our society today. But that's not what God's definition of power and authority is. Jesus has authority to lay down His life and to take it up again for you. Jesus has authority and power to take up His life, to resurrect His life, as He will resurrect you. Jesus has all authority on heaven and on earth. He is the Christ. He is the Son. He is God. And Jesus does not misuse His authority, nor His power. It's always used for your benefit because of His great love for you, for each and every one of you. We must understand that the one who has authority must use it to benefit other people. God forbids that man uses his authority in the wrong way to lord it over others. God wants us to use authority for the good of our neighbor, for the good of our wife, for our husband, for our children, for our grandchildren, for everyone as a Christian. So this brings us to the source of this authority and to the source of Peter's confession. Actually, the source of your confession. And the source of Peter's confession is this, the very words of Jesus. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The authority that we have as Christians to confess that Jesus is God, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Anointed One, the Christ, comes from God. There is authority in Peter's confession, therefore. And this makes his confession valid and truthful. Just as your confession, when you confess the Apostles' Creed, makes it valid and truthful because it's from God. Your confession is the truth. Even though the world says there is no truth, there is truth. And Jesus tells us that His Word is truth. Therefore, your confession is truth. So this brings us to our final point. Confession and this confession as the living one of God. For Peter, to teach and to encourage the other disciples is the same say as God. Same say. That's exactly what Jesus was saying that Peter was doing. He's saying the same as God. The Father knows that Jesus is His Son. The Father knows that Jesus is the Christ. And therefore, we say the same thing as the Father. That's what confession is. We are saying the same as God says. God says that you're a sinner. God says that I am a sinner and that we cannot save ourselves. So when we refuse to confess that we are sinners, we are not saying the same thing as God. We are saying the same thing as the evil one who doesn't want us to confess that we are sinners. Who doesn't want us to confess that Jesus is the Messiah, that He's the Christ, that He's the Son of God, that He's God. You see, dear ones, we are not free. We are not free to change the creed. We are not free to change the confession of our Lord. We are not free to say that Jesus isn't God. We are not free to say that He's not the Messiah or the Anointed One, because the Father has already said it. And unless you are greater than the Father, you have no standing before God. You have no standing before the church. You have no standing before me. Because Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the Living One. He is the Messiah. So for us not to say the same is the same as the world says. Out there, people are saying, Jesus, oh, maybe He's a holy man. Maybe. But He's definitely not God, because there's many ways to heaven, whatever heaven is. We are not to conform our faith to the world, as you heard Paul write to the Romans. Because you have been set apart, dear one. You have been baptized. You have been given the truth, freely given the truth. And when you make that confession, you're making the same confession that is being made in heaven constantly. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. God is a holy one. He is righteous, and He was always will be and always has been God. You are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of God, the Living One. And that's vastly important for us, because Jesus is life, and because you have been given newness of life in your baptism, you have life everlasting. And you should not throw that away by walking away from Christ, by forgetting your baptism, by forgetting the sacraments, by forgetting His Word. When you walk away from Jesus, you just might as well walk right into hell, because that's where you're going. That's where you're headed. Because when you walk away from life, all that's left is death, eternal death. Yet Jesus is life. And He has given us this life freely, as a free gift, here at the cross, there at the font, here at the altar. Thanks be to Jesus that He is the Christ. So this helps us to be on guard. It reminds us who we are, so that we will learn to measure things, not according to the world's standard, but we measure things according to God's standard, His holy word. To measure all things according to the faith that we have been given is life itself. Lest we lose ourselves and or lose our children or we lose our grandchildren and we lose succeeding generations if we do not proclaim the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So let's close with these words. Parents, I know this for a fact that you want your children to confess as clearly as Peter does. I want you to confess as clearly as Peter does. And you want me to confess as clearly as Peter does. Do you want them to follow through on their confession? Bring them to church. Bring them to Sunday school. For adults, come to adult Bible class. For an adult Bible class, we get into the weeds, if you will, and we learn what these words mean, what they mean for our souls. Is this not a time to be away from home for a while? If we're actually learning about the truth of God's Word, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. 1 hour, an hour early each Sunday morning, will reap great benefits for each of you. Come and hear. Hear what Jesus is saying to you in His Word. As we take His Word and we open it up like a beautiful flower. Because that's what His Word is. It's beautiful and it is life. So Christ is not His last name. Christ is His work for your salvation. As His baptized child, you also have a title, Christian, Christ living in you. And that's to your great joy. For He has died, and He has risen, and He has ascended, and He is coming again, dear one, and we will all proclaim on that great and glorious day, Lord Jesus, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen and amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the offering. Please rise for prayer. Having heard the word proclaimed, let us pray for ourselves and for all the faithful, and for all people as they have need. O God, the only true God, we pray for all people that they may have faith in Jesus, who is the Christ, and heed the voice of your calling by your holy word. O God, the only true God, we pray for the church, that all your people may pursue righteousness with peace and joy in their hearts, and that all pastors in their ministry of word and sacrament continually proclaim the truth of your word and rightly administer the blessed sacraments, so that your people may overflow in praise to you forever, glorifying your name. O God, the only true God, we pray for our president, the Congress, our governors, and all civic leaders in their pursuit of peace and unity, for all judges and magistrates in their pursuit of justice with mercy, and for those who protect us from violence and preserve order here and everywhere. O God, the only true God, we pray for favorable weather and the fruits of the earth, and for those unemployed, the poor, the homeless, the hungry, and all people in need. O God, the only true God, we pray for all families and children. We pray for single adults and youth, for those who teach and for those who learn, that they may advance in wisdom and grace, and for the catechumens and those who teach the faith to them. We humbly ask that you bless our Sunday school, Concordia Weekday School, and our adult Bible class, as that your word be taught in purity and in truth. O God, the only true God, we pray for victims of disaster, especially our fellow farm families and all affected by the recent disaster in Iowa. We pray, O Lord, for those stricken by illness or infirmity. We pray for the aged and the infirmed, as well as those in nursing homes and assisted living facilities, and for those who grieve the loss of those whom they love. O Lord, we especially pray for Esther Swier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Michelle Hill, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Ruth Becker, Barbara Wolfert, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Kalla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Janice Patterson, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, Nikki Strait, and the Reverend William Stottlemyre. Be merciful to us, O Lord, and hear our prayers. Grant to us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be led into all truth and be steadfast in the confession of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, O Lord, we pray all of this through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, into thy church thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which cometh down from above, that thy word as becometh it may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord. And this my faith confessing, unmoved I stand upon His word. Man's reason cannot fathom the truth of God profound, who trust her subtle wisdom, relies on shifting ground. God's word is all sufficient, it makes divinely sure, and trusting in its wisdom, my faith shall rest secure. Increase my faith, dear Savior, for Satan seeks by night and day to rob me of this treasure and take my hope of bliss away. But Lord, with Thee beside me, I shall be undismayed, and led by Thy good Spirit, I shall be unafraid. Abide with me, O Savior, a firmer faith I shall bid defiance to every evil foe. In faith, please be seated. We thank Terry for his wonderful playing today. He's really good up there, by the way. He just pushes a button and the organ plays. I bet Liberace can't do that. Wait a minute, he's dead. Certainly he can't do it. So, the announcements, as you see in your bulletin, I'm not going to cover all of them. I just want to remind you that next Sunday is a special service for us. We do this about once a year. And so with this fifth Sunday in August coming up next Sunday, we'll have a special service, which will be a favorite hymns festival, really. And the wonderful thing about this is you'll hear three sermons, not just one, but they'll be very short. So don't worry, we won't be like the old Lutherans of days old, where we're in church for 2 or 3 hours. Unless that's what you want. I can do that. No problem at all. 2 or 3 hours, that's fine. Oh, Morse is going like this. Very good. See, I got one on my side. Very good. All the other announcements you see in the bulletin, God's blessings to you all. And remember, for our anniversary committee, we'll meet right after we finish here in the parish hall. God's grace to you all.